Broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, to the rest of the world, this is Talking Combat with Chris Toplak.
It's your Sunday fix. Talking Combat with Chris Toplak has returned. I appreciate you tuning in and taking 20 to 30 minutes out of your life to show me some love. Of course, spreading the word, telling others to tune in, I'm always grateful for that as well, too. The more, the merrier. That's what I always say. We are now into October, my favorite time of the year. Why? Halloween season is upon us. I dig it. Perhaps it's because of the Macho Man photo cross for me. I see that. Ooh, yeah, I dig it. But I truly do. I bought into the gimmick of Halloween when I was just a wee young lad. Never left me. My costume, in fact, arrived last Thursday. You'll see some photos of me in it, probably closer to Halloween. Year after year, I always dress up. That has never left me. So I'll tell you this much. If you head over to my social media outlets, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Facebook, even if you want to add me on there, I always post throwback Thursday photos, of course. Guess when? Thursdays. And they're pretty funny. My parents took a lot of photos of me. Most are pretty embarrassing. I look back, I just laugh. I have some Halloween costumes on there of myself as a young boy. So I'll post some more of those throughout the remainder of the month. You can check them out. You can laugh. You can poke fun. I've already done so. Not going to hurt me. Also, Canadian Thanksgiving is next weekend. So there will not be a show next Sunday. Reason being, it's a holiday. Heading over to Michigan for a few days to enjoy it. So if you're in America, hey, trying to celebrate some Canadian Thanksgiving as well, too. Eat some turkey. Have an argument with the family. On the agenda today, a UFC 192 recap. Get to that shortly. John Jones avoids jail time. Thank God, because we need him. Ronda Rousey makes history again. I'm pretty sure she wakes up in the morning and makes history. And Rich Franklin formally announces his retirement. But let's talk about UFC 192. I missed most of the preliminary card. I had to go back home, rewatch it. And let me tell you, I personally believe the undercard delivered even more than the main card. That might not be a popular opinion due to the main event. It was great, but still, that undercard had so much excitement. I mean, you had Sergio Pettis there, Derek Lewis there, Rose with an awesome standing rear naked choke, forcing Angela Hill to basically go to sleep. Nighty night. Great to see Rose back in the win column. She previously dropped two in a row, desperately needed to get her arm raised, and she did. So the undercard, in my humble opinion, delivered. And before we go any further, let's talk about the elephant in the room, being Johnny Hendricks. He was rushed to the hospital after a failed weight cut, and that was due to coming into the camp well overweight. I actually read at one point, I believe he was 210. Keep in mind, you have to drop down to 170. That's 40 pounds. That's insanity. Why are you doing that to your body? So to my knowledge, apparently it shocked his system. And of course, he was not allowed to continue. So Tyrone Woodley, as it appears, will be next in line to take on Rory McDonald, not Rory McDonald, the winner of Carlos Condit and Robbie Lawler at UFC 195. I think I was having Rory McDonald on the brain because even coming off a loss, I'd love to see him get the next shot. I don't believe Woodley is ready, but nevertheless, though, not exactly fair to him to be in a training camp for the past couple of months. And then, 2 days before the fight, your opponent pulls out. And there are no replacements to be found. Very unfortunate situation for Woodley, who was quite frustrated, and rightfully so. And as for Hendricks, he's got some serious thinking to do. I believe Dana White is going to force him to move up to middleweight. It makes sense at this point. He's not taking this seriously. He's a tough guy to like when you think about it, especially when he says, I take my foot off the gas. Now he's forced to drop out of a fight. He's got to get it together. So during the previous edition of Talking Combat, I did openly predict that UFC 192 would be fairly lackluster. Now, many were saying this was a great card, even after it was completed. I don't know. I feel like it was an accurate assumption by claiming it would be fairly lackluster. I wasn't overly impressed outside of the undercard and also, of course, the main event. But let's move ahead because we talked about Rose. How about the 19-year-old lightweight prospect, Sage Northcutt? He wowed the Toyota Center, his octagon debut. He finished his opponent via TKO less than a minute. That's how you make an immediate impact. Even did his ninja flip as well, too. The UFC marketing machine already putting a fair effort into presenting Northcutt as a potential star. And rightfully so. He's got the look. He's got youth on his side. He's been competing since he was a young boy. I believe ever since he was 4 or 5 years old. That is the new generation. That is what it's going to take to get ahead. Those who literally have it in them from a young age. Not picking up the sport at the age of 30. Those days will soon disappear. Moving to the main card. Some great fights. And some not so great fights. Juliana Pena in the women's bantamweight division emerged victorious over Jessica Ai. A shame. Jessica Ai is a very talented fighter. Just a horrible record in the UFC. Too many losses. Essentially has certified herself as a gatekeeper. Juliana Pena, great in the grappling department. Following her victory, post-fight interview. Here's what she said. Dana called you Mike Tyson. Well, then I'm Holyfield. I'll be your Huckleberry. That's what Pena said to Ronda. Still far too soon, but I did mention she could be a future title contender. I stand by that. Moving ahead, are you surprised? Joseph Benavidez, one of the best flyweights on the planet, managed to thoroughly defeat former title contender Ali Begotinov. Thing about Benavidez, though, is that he's lost to Johnson on multiple occasions. Do you want to see it again? I mean, he's arguably, you know, top three in that division. Basically, you have Mighty Mouse, you've got Dodson, you've got Benavidez, and now you have Henry Cejudo, who's climbing up the ranks. Aside from that, they need more contenders. In the heavyweight division, Ruslan Magomedov defeated Sean Jordan. I predicted it would happen. Picked him apart. Did a great job there. Co-main event, it was Rashad Evans versus Ryan Bader. And Rashad's octagon rush did not do him any favors. He appeared to be rather sluggish and tentative. Ryan Bader implemented a great game plan. Earned himself the victory. But I have a bone to pick. Ryan Bader gets by Rashad Evans. He extends his winning streak to 5. And yet no mention by him of a title opportunity. Microphone is in front of you. It's your chance to sell, sell, sell. That was his opportunity to sell himself as a potential top contender. He blew it. Bader, come on. With the outcome of the main event, this may have been a logical choice. From pretender to contender, right? Let's talk about the main event. Great fight that was better than originally expected, at least in my opinion. Cormier's uppercuts and constant pressure was enough to earn himself the victory. Though Gustafsson did make it very interesting on a couple of occasions, notably with that knee that stunned Cormier. Now, how did you score the fight? That's a great question. Many gave 4 rounds to Cormier. Many gave it 3 and then Gustafsson 2. I was actually fine with a 48-47 Cormier victory. I don't know why it was a split decision. I love Gustafsson, but he did not do nearly enough to win this fight. He looked sloppy. He was still in the fight, mind you, despite the fatigue. but he had the wind sucked out of him early on. I believe all those uppercuts and that pressure. And Joe did mention it constantly, but yes, he had to travel a lot. He's so lanky. Then when he moved out of the way of punches, he was basically running, whereas Cormier would just walk forward, not wasting a ton of energy. Big victory, earned themselves fight of the night, well deserved. And he's back. Jones reacted via Instagram following the victory. I somehow caught it immediately. The videos have since been deleted, but one of the posts featured Jones saying, "I think I miss it, I don't know." And before you make a cocaine joke, he's talking about the octagon. He's walking around his house saying that. The other was him just nodding. The text read, "You showed some heart tonight, DC." Now here's the thing. If Jones returns, when he returns, he will thoroughly destroy Daniel Cormier again. I just can't see Cormier getting by Jones. When Cormier managed to pick Gustafsson up over his head, dump him down, we saw Jones do that to Cormier. The talent gap is quite wide in that division. Jones is so far ahead of everybody. When he comes back, especially the fact, too, that I do believe he's motivated, no one is safe. So who's next? Should it be John Jones and Daniel Cormier? Or if they wait on that, is it Ryan Bader and Daniel Cormier? Not exactly a money fight. Let me know what you think. I'd love to see the return of the king personally regain his crown. As a whole, UFC 192, I'd probably give it about a C+. Not the drink. Come on. But I'd give it about a C+ there. I wasn't overly impressed. I thought it was fine. Again, I felt the undercard delivered more than the main card. Let me know what you think all over social media.
The highs, the lows, and everything in between. This is your weekly recap.
Kick off the season with the belt every fan needs. It's the Mission Belt. In case you haven't caught on by now. Full collection at missionbelt.com. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and like them on Facebook. They've been featured on Good Morning America, on Shark Tank, and endless other publications. They're the real deal. Missionbelt.com to find out more today. Yeah, there were some highs and some lows. In my opinion, one of the highs that was previously a low had to do with John Jones. Pled guilty to one felony charge of leaving the scene of an accident. But fortunately, no jail time will follow him. So what happens here is that he has an 18-month probational period, along with 72 required charity appearances. Good. Still needs to obviously fulfill his commitments. Has to own up to what he has done. But avoiding jail time, which would have been the worst scenario possible. A portion of John's statement was released. I'm going to read it here. "With regards to today's decision made by the court, I am very happy to now be able to put this incident behind me. My actions have caused pain and inconvenience in the lives of others, and for that I am truly sorry, and I accept full responsibility. I've been working hard during this time away from my sport to grow and mature as a man and to ensure that nothing like this happens again. I have learned a great deal from the situation, and I am determined to emerge a better person because of it. Let's hope that is true. Here's his chance to step up as a human being, as a role model, and prove to all of us that he has changed for the better. And I do wish him the best, because I want to see him in the octagon ASAP. He's one of my favorite fighters. He's a genius." Speaking of John Jones, Chuck Liddell recently criticized the former light heavyweight champion for fighting too safe. Found that an odd statement. Here's what Chuck Liddell had to say. "He fights too safe. Here's the problem. Like GSP, I love GSP. He's a great fighter. He makes some really good guys look stupid, but he doesn't try to finish fights. He likes to go out, beat you, follow the game plan, make sure he wins the fight. I understand that from a manager or coach's standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, I don't want to watch it. I don't want you to go out and just do enough to win. I don't mind if you win by decision, but I just don't want you to try, or I just want you to try and finish him. Go after him, try to hurt him. I have to disagree to some extent with Chuck Liddell's statements. While John Jones has not finished his past several fights, right? Cormier, Gustafson, Glover Teixeira. They've been entertaining fights. I mean, you can't tell me that Gustafson fight was not one of the greatest that you've ever witnessed. So why would Chuck Liddell not want to watch that? The Cormier fight was pretty solid. The Teixeira fight was not bad at all either. And let's keep in mind, and the record shows, Jones has finished the majority of his fights. George St. Pierre was criticized about this for years. I thought towards the end of his career, he did step up a bit. That fight with Carlos Condit was pretty exciting. The one with Johnny Hendricks was actually quite good. The problem with George was that he got more exciting the more he got hit. He did fight certainly more conservatively post-Matt Serra, but he still had some great moments too. I see where Chuck is coming from in terms of George St. Pierre, who's very game plan oriented. Same with John Jones, but still, John Jones has been a part of so many great fights. So let me know what you think. Is Chuck Liddell accurate with this opinion, or is he kind of off? I think he's slightly off here. Good intentions, just not completely accurate in my opinion. The UFC in NYC, are we finally going to see it? Well, the UFC is so confident, in fact, that they're going to be holding an event in New York City that they announced tentatively, by the way, it's not formal, April 23rd, 2016, mark the date on your calendar. An event is scheduled to take place at Madison Square Garden. Really? It's not even legalized in the state of New York, and we're already booking a tentative date? That's a little ambitious. I believe they even sued because they had to put down a pretty sizable deposit. Jumping the gun? Just a tad, if you ask me. Some fight announcements, and very intriguing ones at that. Travis Brown versus Matt Mitrione and Tim Boach versus Ed Herman, both set for UFC Fight Night 81 in Boston. Certainly a city where I would love to catch some fights. Very passionate fans. Cain Velasquez says a title rematch versus Werdum is being targeted for March in Brazil. Far too soon, if you ask me. I would have rather seen another top contender get the nod over Cain Velasquez. He was thoroughly picked apart. He does not deserve it so soon. All he's ever done over the past 3 years is competed against three separate opponents. That's it. Bigfoot, JDS, and Werdum, all multiple times. Fresh matchups, please, come on. What about Cain Velasquez versus Josh Barnett or Travis Brown? Perhaps even Stipe for a number one contendership fight. I'm fine with that. Arlovsky, so many different options prior to that immediate rematch. Just my humble opinion. Yet another first for Ronda Rousey. Add that to the long list. She becomes the first woman ever to grace the cover of Men's Fitness magazine. And I guarantee she could probably kick the butts out of the majority of the men who have been on that cover before her. P.S. Before I go any further, that promo featuring Ronda and Holly Holm is arguably one of the most compelling pieces of material the UFC has ever produced. Now, the video was released, I believe, actually, somehow by Ellen DeGeneres. Not sure where that came from, but it focused primarily on Ronda. 11 years old, she discovers the sport of judo, eventually transitions into MMA. What I love about this one is that it now shines the spotlight on Holly Holm, and it really allows all of us to kind of perceive her as a legitimate threat, even if she's not. Does her a lot of favors. Unbelievable. More of that, please. Former UFC champion Rich Franklin announces his MMA retirement. It's official now. So you can check out the full announcement on theplayerstribune.com. That site was founded by Derek Jeter back in 2014, essentially is to give athletes a direct way to reach out to the fans. Rich Franklin, one of the most well-spoken athletes I've ever come across. Very intelligent individual. Even watch his TED Talks speech. Very impressive. And I want to mention this before I go any further. Because when you see your favorite fighters retire, it's bittersweet. In this case, I'm happy for him. He had a very rewarding career. What he's currently doing is also rewarding. I think it's setting him up for bigger things, which I'll touch on in just a second. But when I got into the sport of MMA, it was two fighters that hooked me, line and sinker. It was Rich Franklin and Georges St. Pierre. Georges St. Pierre, for years, was my guy. Same way that I love John Jones and Donald Cowboy Cerrone, Carlos Condit, so many others. But it was actually Rich Franklin that was the first guy that hooked me on this sport. I was watching footage. I was at a good friend's place. We were in the basement. Had a big old TV set up. And he introduced me to this crazy world of the UFC. I'd previously watched some fights of Vitor and Chuck Liddell and some of those. We were watching Rich Franklin, and I was thinking, man, this guy is phenomenal. We watched him destroy Ken Shamrock and so many others. And that was my guy. I always respected Rich Franklin. I always went out of my way to watch all of his fights because I feel that he earned that right with me. 40 years old now. He hasn't fought since November 2012. He lost to Kung Lee. Basically, he did say what led to this decision was the fact his body has slowed down substantially. Makes sense. He's 40 now. He doesn't need to compete. He actually serves as vice president of the Singapore-based ONE Championship promotion. I believe this will lead to bigger things. I could easily see him eventually replacing Dana White in the UFC. That's been thrown out there. I'd be completely supportive of that. An ideal candidate, one that connects to the fighters, understands the sport, and now he's actually gaining the business knowledge on the sport. What's not to love about the guy? So happy trails to Rich Franklin on a phenomenal career. Definitely a future Hall of Famer. One of my favorites. That will do it for another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Again, I appreciate you tuning in, taking time out of your life to show me some love. I will be off next week. It is Canadian Thanksgiving. Certainly want to recognize a national holiday up here. But I will be back the following week. It's going to be a rough month because then I have my best buddy's wedding. So that next day is probably going to be a write-off too. It's an open bar, okay? Can't blame me. So I'll be back and I'll keep you posted. And until then, happy trails to you until we meet again.
This concludes another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, or at ChrisToplak.com. And visit MMASucka.com for a new show every Sunday.